Good morning. This is Leading Age DC, Leading Age Virginia, Leading Age Maryland, Tuesday Stand Up. Today, Christy Yoski of Health Pro Heritage is going to talk about readmission, root cause analysis, best practices, and recommended steps. Good morning, Christy.
Hi. Thank you for having me today. I think as I've presented on these Tuesday stand-ups before, we hear a lot about readmissions, specifically in the Maryland region, but also D.C. and Virginia, as hospitals begin to work in voluntary and mandatory bundle payment projects aligned with accountable care organizations. We also have SNF value-based purchasing. We're in the current performance year for that, which is calendar year 2017. We're, as SNFs, we're being compared to our own performance as well as the top national performance in calendar year 2015. That data will be released in your CASPER system effective this summer. I know we're in summer, but CMS tends to fall behind a bit. So readmissions are a really hot topic for all of us on this call if you are working in skilled nursing, hospital, even personal care, assisted living, and independent living as a partner for your SNF upstream providers. So one of the things that I find, if you already have a sort of risk assessment for your patients, which I know I've talked about previously, if you already have readmission mitigation strategies in place, you need to make sure you have a scorecard and you're looking at those patients who are rehospitalized, whether they're sent out for ER visits, observation, and stay, or they're admitted. You need to look at opportunities that you have to really maximize caring for them in-house and reducing those potential transfers that could have been preventable. So as you work through your scorecard, a root cause readmission analysis is a really great quality assurance process improvement process to put in place. And I highly recommend taking a look online at Interact. They have the version 4.0 tools available. They have a lot of really great quality improvement tools, a tool worksheet, as well as a summary to kind of categorize any trends in your readmissions. So if you don't have this process in place, the Interact tools are free, and they have a lot of great things to start thinking about. And we generally recommend that anytime you have a patient who goes out to the hospital, your clinical team member who has sent that patient out would complete sections 1 through 4 on the Interact quality improvement tool for review acute care transfers. Section 1 really looks at risk factors. So if you're not wanting to use this tool specifically, you want to look at those diagnoses or potential conditions that could lead to hospitalization or readmission. And some of the examples that they give are really cancer on active chemo or radiation. We know that CHF and COPD are huge, have huge recidivism rates and are costly for our hospital settings, as well as not great for patient care to be transferred so much. Dementia, diabetes, end-stage renal, hip fracture, multiple active diagnoses or comorbidities, like having CHF and COPD and diabetes in the same patient. Polypharmacy is really looked at, too, as a big risk factor. And then any surgical type of complications or infections. And then another piece of that risk factor for hospitalization in Section 1 of this form, it looks at if the resident was rehospitalized or hospitalized in the last 30 days, based on their last admission to your community. And we really have to look at prior hospitalizations as a risk factor. And when we get a patient who's been hospitalized in the last 30 days, especially multiple times, what were the root causes of those readmissions? So I think when we're doing this, we always think if we've sent someone out, but I think this is also a really great practice to do on someone who's had multiple readmissions in the last 30 days to look at their conditions and what can potentially be causing their risk factors, and then what caused their readmissions previously, and then how do we put strategies in place or interventions to mitigate that fact. It also looks at any other hospitalizations or emergency department visits in the last 12 months as part of that risk factor, which is also important. Section 2 talks about really the acute change in condition, so what happened, clinical and non-clinical factors that could have contributed to the transfer. So looking at the date the change in condition was first noticed. And I really like the Interact stop and watch as well. If that's implemented as part of your readmission mitigation strategies, you're in a good place because the idea is to catch it before it happens or before it gets too bad that you have to transfer the patient out. So really looking at when we first noticed, not when we sent them out, but how long ago do we notice a change, even if it was really tiny, when rehab came to us and said they were experiencing pain in their shoulder, or they were breathing heavily, or their pulse ox dropped. And then what happened? What were those factors? And then, of course, the vital signs at the time of transfer are important as well. They also look at any new or worsening symptoms. So what, over that time since the first change in condition, what were those symptoms? And it could be, you know, new or worsening symptoms such as altered mental status, behavioral symptoms, any kinds of abnormal lab or test results like blood sugar, EKG, INR, those types of things. It looks at the diagnosis or the presumed diagnosis that you would be sending them out with, and then any other factors, meaning they don't have an advance directive in place, the family or resident preference or concerns have not been addressed, the clinician insisted on a transfer, which we see often. I like this piece because a lot of times our medical directors or physicians aren't necessarily on board, and they want to transfer them if they can't get in to see them or if they haven't known them long. And as we see shorter length of stays, we are seeing a little bit more of that. So that may be a huge trend. So I really, any system that you use, whether it's Interact or not, paying attention to whether or not the physician or the covering physician, which is what we see oftentimes, they're transferred out without trying to do anything in-house. They'd rather just get them out of the house and get to the ER. Section 3 of this form really describes the action taken to evaluate and manage the condition. So what did you do prior to transferring them? It looks at the different tools, and, of course, they name their own tools like the stop and watch, the SBAR, any of the Interact care paths that they have, change in condition file cards, those types of things. And then, of course, the medical evaluation, whether it was via telephone, whether you had a nurse practitioner or a physician's assistant actually on site, did the physician actually visit, or was there something else like a specialist, or they were at dialysis and sent out. And then any testing that you did, blood tests, EKG, or analysis, venous Doppler x-ray. And then what interventions did you try before you sent them out? So it could be new or change in medications as directed by the physician, IV or subcutaneous fluids, if you're able to do that in your SNF, and then increased oral fluids, oxygen, or any other different techniques. And then section 4, again, would be really describing the hospital transfers, the date of transfer, who sent the patient, if the outcome, if it's available, meaning did they just go to the emergency department and came back, they were held for observation or admitted to the hospital as an inpatient. What was the diagnosis if they were admitted, if it's available? Did the resident actually make it to the hospital, first and foremost? And then any factors contributing to the transfer would be looked at. And then what happens once those top four are done by the clinician who's transferring them? Really the transdisciplinary team, which should include somebody who's leading the process, so the leader to make sure everything is done and done correctly, the medical director, the DON, and anybody directly related to caring for those patients, whether it's, you know, the RN supervisor, and anybody else you feel would be relevant to have on this team, sit down. They review sections 1 through 4, review all of those items that we just talked about. And then section 5 is the biggest piece of this puzzle, and it's really to help identify opportunities for improvement. And I've sat through a lot of these, and I tend to hear, well, that's, you know, that's just Mrs. Smith. We send her out all the time. She's gone out 4 times in the last 30 days. So I realize that that's Mrs. Smith, but what was the cause? What did we do? What did we put in place after the first, second, third, and fourth time? And then what contributed to this fifth time that we could have done differently? It's really not there to say we did this wrong. It's truly to identify what could we do differently next time. And not just for Mrs. Smith, but if we have a similar patient, is there something that we can do, thinking outside of the box, whether it's clinical capabilities and enhancing the education of our staff, whether it's working with a medical team, the nurse practitioner, the physician's assistant, or the actual physician to have a better process in place to care for the patient while they're here, and what does that look like? If the physicians have coverage that are not necessarily willing to assess the patient and treat them in-house, we need to have alternate plans. So is telemedicine something that would be beneficial if you're in a rural area and don't have the number of physicians or the type of physicians that you need? So those are all types of things. I think one other example of a unique opportunity was one patient in actually two different communities went out in one community 5 times, the other patient went out 4 times, and it was for blood transfusion. So they both contracted through another company to provide blood transfusions on site and worked it out with the physician so that would happen. And they reduced their readmissions because it seemed to be both of them having the same long-term care patient in and out. So just trying to come up with those different types of opportunities to really make sure that those readmissions aren't happening again. The other thing I like about the Interact is they actually, on the website, another free tool is the improvement summary worksheet. So once you've done a handful of your root cause analysis for readmission QI tools, you can actually take those tools and combine them on the summary worksheet to see if you actually have patterns or trends. And I think this is important when you start to see that your physicians tend to send people out no matter what. They don't really trust what's happening, or they don't have the right coverage when they're not there, or they're not rounding on high-risk patients enough. So maybe your readmission mitigation strategies aren't necessarily working. So this is a great opportunity not only to improve those that you've sent out, but also to determine the effectiveness of your readmission mitigation strategies. And the one last thing I'll say about this as well is another great opportunity, not only those patients that you're sending out from your community, but if you have sent someone home or to assisted personal care, independent living, and you know that they're back in the hospital, whether your home health has communicated that to you, whether the family has contacted you or the referral source, or they're actually coming back to you from that readmission. Root cause analysis, or analyze those as well, that will be just as important, because as we see a 30-day SNF value-based purchasing, we may only have our patients with us for 15, 16, 17. You know, the national average is about 21 days from a length of stay perspective. So there's still 9-plus days where the patient is within that value-based purchasing period that if they're readmitted, that is going to affect your bottom line in the future for fiscal year 2019. So not only those 9 days, but we see the pattern. It's eventually going to be 60, and then eventually it's going to be 90. We're required to care for patients outside of our four walls and make sure that we set them up for success. So while it's important to keep a very nice, tight readmission mitigation while they're in your four walls, now it's even as important within 30 days. It's eventually going to be 60, if not 90 sooner. So to have those quality partnerships with your home health, and then to look at anybody that you've sent home, what interventions did you put in place? Where could you have done something differently? Why was the patient readmitted? So not just doing this process for those readmitted from your four walls, but once you've sent someone home, come up with a strategy of let's look at anybody within 30 days of discharge. Let's look at anybody within 60 days of discharge. And then also root cause analyze those folks as well, just to see not only can we care for them in-house, but can we set them up for success for 60 to 90 days plus. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Deborah and see if there are any questions.
Great. Thanks, Christy. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording and unmute the line. And then if so,
conference recording started.
You can ask. So give me just a moment, and you can take this time to think of your questions. Okay, the lines are unmuted, so if anyone has any questions, you can go ahead now. Christy, I'm wondering if you could provide us with a link to the Interact form so that we can put that on our website.
Absolutely.
Okay. Great.
I can send that right over.
Wonderful. Are there any other questions this morning? Well, it looks like we don't have any other questions. So thank you, everyone, for joining us for Tuesday Stand Up. And thank you, Christy, for leading us about readmission root cause analysis, best practices, and recommended steps. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you.